Welcome to
2 o'clock with Keller.
Bring your tea
and leave with more. Hi.
Hello, welcome to our penultimate Christmas episode.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Eve. I don't know,
what
add another Eve onto that.
Oh, yeah. We're posting this tomorrow. Yeah, Eve.
Yeah, four Eves. Anyway.
We're in 20s now. So close.
It is so close to Christmas. I cannot believe it. Very exciting.
Yeah, it is. I'm so happy we saved this episode until the latter part of our Christmas episode because it is just the perfect thing to get you in the Christmas mood.
Definitely. I have to say, actually no, I'll save that for when we actually start talking about it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it is actually first, even though you probably read the episode title. But we're talking about It's a Wonderful Life. 1946, I want to say.
Yeah, sure. It's definitely 1940s. Yeah. And we've got James Stewart in it. Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen in Vertigo.
Yeah.
And that witchy one. It's like something and bells. Candlesticks and Bells.
Oh, A Bell, Book and Candle.
Oh, that's it.
Yes, because that's also got Kim Novak in, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is weird.
And I think he's also in Hitchcock's Suspicion. I think that's him as well, potentially.
He's a huge star for like anyone outside of our generation, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I didn't really know him outside of this film.
No, neither.
But it is the most spectacular Christmas film. Well, Ella may disagree, we'll get into it.
No, it is definitely a spectacular Christmas film.
Yeah, it's now in my top three Christmas films and it's one of my all-time favourite films. And
it's lovely.
I'll just say briefly, I won't fully summarise, but I'll just briefly give a synopsis in case people don't know. It is about a man, George Bailey, played by Jimmy Stewart, and he decides that, well, trigger warning, he doesn't want to live anymore because life's really rough for him. But it's about him living in his little town, Bedford Falls, and keeping wanting to get out, and he can't. And he keeps having to run the family business and look after everyone. And then Angel Clarence gets sent down to help him. And I think it's Christmas Eve when he comes down and shows him actually how wonderful his life is.
And that, just that whole like last bit after the whole Clarence, the majority of the Clarence thing when he's kind of like alive again as such. That whole bit is just so sweet and so wonderful. Yeah.
I say if you haven't watched It's Wonderful Life, hopefully you have if you're listening to this and you are a bit wary of watching it because it's an older film. I say, honestly, I've never seen an old film, apart from maybe The Wizard of Oz, that is as good as this. It really didn't feel like an old film, personally. It's not aged badly at all. It's not particularly sexist. Like by 1940 standards, and it's even got that horrible grainy quality and stilted way of speaking. It's so watchable.
It didn't feel like watching a film from the 40s. Like it did, but that didn't put a negative spin on how I watched it. Like I absolutely loved it, and I'm like, I can't believe I haven't seen this until now, because it's one of those such like typical canonical, if you
like everyone knows
Christmas films.
Yeah, if you guys know the phrase "every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings," I don't know if it's from that, like from this film, but they say it in this film, and I was like, "No, that's so cool,
so cute." I don't know if it was like around earlier, but I feel like maybe this film made that like
popularized
thing popular. Yeah,
but final general thing from me before we get properly into it, just gonna say also, I can't remember what it's called. Is it Miracle on
34th?
I don't know if it's 42nd or 34th, but whichever one.
One of the two,
Because that's another older one. This is literally 100 times better.
I agree.
Just saying, because that's the only ever kind of oldie film that I've
watched. Yeah.
That's definitely. Ella, I have been rabbiting on. I really want to know what you make of it.
No, I did really, really love it. And the comment earlier was because I felt like it didn't feel very Christmassy until that very end section.
Yeah.
I feel like that's maybe my own. I was like, I don't, I went into it thinking it would be overtly Christmassy the
Absolutely.
entire way through, but that didn't mean I didn't enjoy it
Yeah.
any less. Because, like, oh, that end bit is just so wonderful. And even just the whole way it's set up, like at the beginning with all the stars talking to all the angels talking to each other as stars, and then how you see snippets of him as a child and how they're like, oh, this thing that he did is going to be important to the rest of his life, and you get to see that kind of background of his life. I thought it was really sweet and it was done really well. And then Clarence was fantastic, so sweet.
I'm tearing up. I actually have a tear that's come out of my
Oh.
just you talking about it, because I know it's ridiculous, but I love it so much. It makes me so happy. It's so moving. And I do agree, it is an overtly Christmassy. I thought it also would be a bit more going into it, but I like that it has the Christmas sentiment of
Yeah.
what we've spoken about with so many other Christmas films and A Christmas Carol, of also looking after each other and it being a time of being introspective and unity.
Yeah, and that idea of maybe your life doesn't turn out how you pictured it, that doesn't mean it's a bad life.
Yeah.
Like, you've still done all these wonderful things and touched so many people's lives and made so much of a difference. And
Yeah.
that's obviously so overtly shown when you see the bits where it's as if he hadn't been born.
Yeah, it's more so the feeling of Christmas rather than the aesthetics of Christmas. As it is, it's snowing, but it's not got all those present giving or family Christmas meal much. Yeah, it's more about family and togetherness and appreciating the year. But it's got a Christmas tree. Have a Christmas party right at the end.
Exactly.
Let's talk more about Clarence, the gorgeous Clarence. I love that angel so much.
Bless him. He's been trying to get his wings for 200 odd years. And you
Oh.
could tell that he's really trying. He really wants to do his best. And then he's so kind of happy and grateful. And the little card that he gives at the end
It.
is just absolutely adorable. I love that.
Oh God, my favorite part of the entire film, I agree with you, is right at the end when he's like, I really want to live. And when he's with his family, and so everyone's putting money on the table to help him, and Clarence has left that card all at the book and written whatever in it. And the family asks George, oh, who's that? And he says, oh, that's a very dear friend. And then he hears the bell ring and he's like, Attaboy, Clarence. That
No,
scene.
I love that. I love that
I
so
was
much.
ugly crying at that. I was so, it's so moving. Clarence is the cutest angel ever. I really love this embodiment of an angel. It's not necessarily Angel Gabriel or
Yeah, but
Sparkly.
just this kind of little random angel who's just trying to, do his angel things, get his wings and help people. Oh.
Also like a guardian angel, not a Christmassy angel. And his character is so cute. Oh, just I can't deal with him.
He's
He's so
off.
cute. And I so agree with you. The stars talking to each other. I don't think you get that in a film nowadays. And
No, and I really liked it. I
it's
was like, yeah, I was like, this is gonna be good. Like, I'm excited to see where this goes. And even when they then zoom down onto the life and the picture goes from black and then it like turned into focus, and how they're like narrating it as if to be like, oh, once you get your wings, you'll be able to use all these powers to see all the past. And I was like, that's such a cool concept.
I think it's so inventive in its actual structure, as you mentioned, just like, okay, this is going to be important later on, and it guides you, and it chops and changes, it cuts quite a lot between different scenes and different time periods. And I really enjoyed that because it makes it feel a bit faster paced. It's not boring plodding along. And I think with Christmas films, it's nice when you have that clear central message or motif of, and in this, it's pretty much keeping George alive and how he has a wonderful life. And so I really appreciate that they're doing the showing all the key moments when he's helped people throughout his life, that then like later on you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah,
he gets to see the other side of what life could have been like. But it's also good in that they don't spend too long on it. It's not like they do. First half is everything that's happened. The second half is like what would change if he wasn't alive. They just, it take a while building up what his life has been like, and then quickly go through, oh yeah, this has happened, this has happened, like this wouldn't, if you hadn't been there, then you couldn't have stopped this. And I think that's good, because otherwise it just gets a bit repetitive of like, yeah, we get it, like
he's exactly, you would have
yeah, definitely. And what else did you enjoy about the film? What other favorite moments did you have?
But when they're in the drugstore and little George is serving, and then you got the two girls, and then it's just, I don't know, I just find it so sweet and so funny, because you can see that as little kids, like they're doing the typical little kid thing of trying to be older and whatever, and then you also just see how much of a genuinely lovely person he is when he's helping the chemist, I can't remember what his name is, and he figures out that his son is passed away and that he's really going through it, and he wants to be able to do what he can to help, and he runs to his dad to try and just that whole scene. I thought it sets up him as a character so well, and I thought it was really fun seeing him and the other two girls, and then you later go on to see him and Mary, and so sweet.
That really makes me emotional as well, that one of the first times you see what an impact George has on other people.
Yeah.
And when, again, I've forgotten his name, when the chemist breaks down and cries because he realizes that he was about to give poison to one of the patients, and he hugs him, and you know, he tells George how much he appreciates him. That's really moving. And I think what's really nice about this film is not just George realizing how special he is, but also him getting that acknowledgement from other people and understanding how much they appreciate him. And they're very vocal about it, which I think is really important. I'm just honing that message about, you need to let everyone know how much they mean to you, how much they've helped you. So that is so moving. And then he gets given the case by him, the suitcase, when he wants to go off on his travels that he never goes on.
Oh, yeah. That is really sweet. And you can just see how happy he is in that moment, that kind of paying back. Oh, what were some of your favourite bits?
I really love all the bits with Mary, because their love story is so, so sweet. My favourite bit is when you get to see Mary's waiting in her house, and George is waiting. He's like, oh, should I go in? Should I not go in? And she can see him at the gate, and she goes and puts a record on, and then she goes and puts a picture up that she's done for him. And I love that so much, because that's so relatable. Like, oh, getting ready for it. And she's been prepared for this for so long, and she's so devoted to him. And I love that she's drawn that picture of him saying, George Lassie's the main.
Absolutely adorable.
Yeah, I love all the references in the film to the moon, to the stars, to the sky. Yeah. It makes it even more ethereal, and it relates back to Clarence, and it all feels spiritual, but not in an overwhelming way, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. Yeah, I do like that about it.
Did you also get Wuthering Heights vibes from it, in terms of, I was thinking of that same scene with the calling at literally the front door, but like them going in and out of houses, going into their other house that later becomes their home.
Yeah.
That, I don't know, it gives me Wuthering Heights vibes.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's very windy as well. I think it's the weather.
Yeah, and I think the weather and like these houses being these places of kind of like shelter and where all these lovely moments happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole honeymoon thing she sets up in the house with the help of the friends is absolutely adorable. It's lovely. And that comes straight after he's just with his building and loans company, they've just helped out their customers and retained their business, so their business hasn't fallen through, and then she has that lovely honeymoon thing for him. It's just adorable. And his funny little double take at the bed is hilarious.
There's so much slapstick comedy in it, which normally annoys me, but I think because it's such a happy film, it really makes it for me.
Yeah. Oh, so sweet.
I think the reason why I just adore this film, and you reminded me of it in what you've just said, is that it's all about love.
Yeah, it is.
Another film about love. It's all about people caring for one another, and even when things don't turn out as you'd like them to, like when they don't let's go on their honeymoon, I think the characters don't show defeat as much. Like, they're more so they're resilient and look for a new way to carry on, which is really hard, and I couldn't necessarily do that in their situation. But it's really heartwarming to see that they can make the best of things and carry on and have really lovely moments like that.
Definitely, and it counteracts with just the very blunt and obvious greed of Mr. Potter and him just wanting to kind of take over and be really, really rich and not really care about anyone but himself. So that's a really kind of obvious, blatant, but good kind of like contrast between the two.
Also, like so many other Christmas things we've spoken about, class is a huge thing. In this, it's very much about capitalism with Potter. He's this greedy capitalist and not in favour of supporting the working class whatsoever. And I
Exactly.
why class always seems to come up in Christmas literature, Christmas films. And I guess because Christmas is a massive time of, well, goodwill, but
Yeah.
also spending money. And I guess maybe that's why film as a whole is not necessarily super Christmassy. It's more so just that general idea of
Yeah.
not really having money and supporting one another. And which is just a huge part of Christmas in general.
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of brings it maybe more to the everyday by having it not so overtly Christmas everywhere in the entire film. It makes it more relatable and believable, and you're able to see those parallels within life that you would have seen in 1940 and you still see today. And I think that's why people still watch it now, because it almost feels timeless because of the issues and the themes and the things it deals with. They're still kind of prevalent in life today and Christmas today.
So true. And also, I was just thinking that if it came out in 46 and it's pretty much set in its present day, then a lot of the Potter stuff would come round about the New Deal, slash also the Great Depression. And so I think that's a super interesting time period to look at. Well, I guess it was just their present, but also in terms of class. And you make reference to the shanty towns. Shanty towns? Shanty? I don't know how to say
I don't know
it.
what it is.
Oh, yeah, because you've also got to mention the war as well. There's a lot of interesting historical, well, wouldn't have been historical then, but social, political, and economic context surrounding the film as well. And that says that it's not, it is pretty much a good versus evil. Well, not versus, but it's very black and white in morals. But at the same time, it is surrounded in this context and grounded in the actual what was happening of the day. And I think it makes it even more moving in that it doesn't shy away from all of the strife that these people have faced, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. It shows you both the good and the bad, which makes it kind of
Yeah.
realistic.
That was a very difficult period of American history. And yet,
Oh, yeah, definitely.
it's still a wonderful life.
Yeah, like I guess that feeds into the kind of overall theme of the film. Yeah, and I think it's good that it's when they show what happened to them all in the war. I think it was good that they didn't just go, oh, and everyone went off to fight. Like you see lots of different versions of how the different people did played their different parts in helping, as opposed to just being like, all the men were sent away. So it's a bit more realistic in that way. And obviously would have been very fresh in their minds at the time making this film. And they probably had some involvement even themselves.
Yeah, that's true. As much as it is a film about how it's a wonderful life, it I think it, if it had a subheading or subtitle, it would say It's a Wonderful Life, but it's also a challenging one. And it's a film that is optimistic and focuses on the really wonderful elements of life, but it's not blinkered. It doesn't pretend that life isn't hard. And as you mentioned, with showing what happens to all the people in the war, what jobs they take on, they show that, yeah, like, they did have it tough. They did have a lot going on. But, and even things with, like, with the little girl, his daughter getting ill, dying and that. And, you know, all these people that rely on George to help them not have to live in this horrible Pottersville. Yeah. And so it's very self-aware of, you know, it's not always a wonderful life. But
yeah, that you've got to have those bad moments to enjoy the good. And I guess it's just telling you to remember the good parts and value the good parts, even in those moments where it feels like everything is going wrong, which is kind of the point of this film, is that when everything is going wrong for George, that's why kind of Clarence comes down to show him that even in amongst the bad, there's been the good influences he's made and the good things that he has. So kind of the light without the dark.
Yeah.
Or however many other ways you want to say that.
Yeah, it's also a guide to finding or appreciating the silver lining.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Christmas is such a time of reflection and introspection and appreciating what and who you have around you.
So well embodied. In when Clarence first comes down to Earth and he jumps into the freezing river and then George goes in to save him.
Yeah, without even thinking, he's straight there to go and help him. And that just shows you what a wonderful person he is.
And that really stays in my mind how Clarence says, you saved me, but actually I was saving you by jumping in. And so the mutual saving of each other. And yeah, I really love the idea of how actually he could, George in a way saved himself by being able to, you know, just by being such a selfless, caring person.
Exactly, definitely.
Like, that just is absolute crux of how incredible he is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it's all encapsulated in that moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can see that from the very beginning, when one of the first clips we see of George is him saving his brother.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I love how kind he is to his brother. It's so hard. He has to let his brother go off and be this war hero. And go off to college and everything that George wanted to do. And it's so hard for him to watch. But it's so sweet when at the end his brother comes back and he sees Harry and he realises that actually, even though he doesn't have the title, he is a hero, you know, despite that. And, you know, surrounded by all his family.
Yeah, that bit on the stairs when he runs up the stairs and hugs all his children. And then Mary comes along as well. That is just so sweet. I'm just sat there crying. That just, the entire last section, just in tears, because it's just so, so sweet.
It's so sweet. Oh my God, it's going to set me off again.
I know, we're trying to not cry. It's happy tears, though. Happy tears.
It's happy film. I don't want to put people off watching it if you listen to this whole thing. And you're like,
then again, We cry a lot. We're very highly emotional people.
Yeah, but we're crying because it's so sweet.
Yeah.
And I like from the start that you know it's going to have a good ending and he's going to realise it's a wonderful life.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the angel's been down. Clarence has been sent down to do a mission.
Yeah.
You know that, you know, he is going to help him live. So even though it's really difficult, and when there's all the moments of, you know, Potter, he's going to take over and they're building a loans company, isn't going to have any money.
Yeah.
I wasn't too distressed throughout because I thought, oh no, it's okay because we've got a new year. It's going to end up all festive and everyone together at Christmas.
Yeah.
So it's quite a comfort film.
Yeah, it's comforting in that way because you know it's going to end okay.
It's a film about selfishness and love. And how could you not enjoy a film about that?
You can't not. I would definitely... I mean, if you've made it all the way to the end of this episode and you haven't watched the film, definitely go watch it. Yeah. If you have seen it, watch it again.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it on Christmas Eve, I think.
It just leaves you feeling so like warm and fuzzy and wonderful.
Yeah.
And it just makes you want to go and hug all your family and friends.
Literally, straight after, I was just hugging my dad and he's like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I just watched this film."
Yeah.
5 stars from me.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I'm so glad. I need someone else to. It's become my whole personality, this film. So
I think it will definitely be added to the list of Christmas films I rewatch every Christmas.
Oh, I'm actually so glad. I'm glad you enjoy it as much as I do.
And we'll be back for our final episode on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, we're gonna chat about our Christmas plans, do all these Christmas quizzes. It's basically a party if it was a podcast.
That's fantastic. I love that. Very excited.
Until then, Merry Christmas.
Till then, Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to
Tea O'Clock with Keller.
See you next time.